that ever happened to you? Come on, are you glad to be a part of an apostolic church tonight? I'm going to give you just a second here to shout if you want to. Go right ahead. Now, I know some of you wanted to shout and you just regret now that you didn't. I'm going to give you one more chance to shout for all of you late bloomers here. Hey, he's my friend. Now, somebody that wants healing in your body tonight, you shout. Somebody that's up against the wall and you need a move of God in your life, I want you to shout about it right now. Yeah. Come on, with your mouth, begin to say, God's my healer. God's my provider. God is my way maker. God will turn a mountain into a plain. Yes. Somebody with a big mountain in your life, I want you to proclaim it in the house of the Lord tonight. My God can take that mountain down, cast it into the sea. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's my friend. He said, now I call you my friends. Praise God. There's a progression in that relationship. But tonight, I'm so glad to have the one that sits at the pinnacle of power. Now, it's good to know somebody in authority. I was pulling into Alabaster one night, going to an address I'd never been to before for a Bible study. And I whipped on to a little side street and had no idea about the speed limit there. But as soon as I whipped on that street, he lit me up. But little did he know that the house I was going to was the house of another Alabaster police officer. And when he walked up to my window, he said, good evening, sir. I said, good evening, sir. Do you know so-and-so? And he said, now you just roll the dice because I hope he liked him. He said, yeah. I said, I'm going to his house right now. I just don't know where his house is. He said, well, I'm going to take you there right now. So it turned from a ticket, which I rightly deserved, to a blessing. He became my navigator. Because I had a friend in authority. Now, some people pay to have a friend in the Senate or in the House or in a city or civic or community government. Some people even go in the back door of the White House and do business, regardless of who's in power there. That's a lot of power. But tonight, do you realize what you're singing when you're singing that nobody like Jesus, he's my friend? Do you know every knee has to bow to that name? Every tongue has to confess. Nobody has power like my friend tonight. My God, whatever your need is, I want you to know that God has all power in heaven and in earth. Come on, somebody, that pressure is on you and you've been feeling like giving up and your faith is whittled down. I want you to lay hold to the throne of God tonight. Yeah. Come on, tell somebody by you, Jesus is my friend. Come on, you got a friend in high places. And if he loved you enough to give himself a sacrifice for you, Paul put it this way. He said, if he did all that for us while we were yet sinners, if he died for us while we were in sin and we didn't know him, now that you're a part of the kingdom and the family of God, what will God do for you? You need to be bold in your prayers. You need to be bold in your faith toward God tonight. Come on, push your neighbor a little bit and say, don't let the devil push you around. You need to get this into the presence of God. Praise God. Clap your hands if you love him. Praise God. It feels good in the house on a Sunday night. And we are blessed to have a dear friend in the house with us. We love and appreciate Brother and Sister Ellis and their children. And Alok, we just appreciate the church there, their attitude, their experience. When I walked in there the first time, I had been told that you're going to experience something that makes you feel at home. They're a lot like New Life. When I walked in, I felt just like that. I felt at home. And these are people of precious conviction and wonderful, wonderful demonstration and great respect for the word of God. And I just appreciate what God's doing in him. I want him to come tonight, and I want him to just tell us whatever's on his heart. We don't have any plan about that, how this should go. All we know is you're going to preach, and we're going to preach with you. You're going to deliver what the Holy Ghost is saying, and we're going to say, amen, I want that, I believe that. Everybody say, preach to me, preacher. Come on, Brother Ellis, we love you. Take your liberty tonight. We're so glad you're in the house.
Give that praise to the Lord now. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated for just a few moments. Praise the name of the Lord. I feel good in the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. There's a sweet spirit in this place. And you don't really need anybody to pump you up. You already got a praise in you. And it's that kind of attitude toward God that makes a way for you to receive. Most of you come into the house with great expectation. And I can just say, like Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Most of you already came prepared to receive. So I'm going to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart. I thank the Lord for Brother and Sister Sutton, this wonderful congregation, church family. Amen. And I see so many new faces, so many old faces, so many people I've seen before and I love and appreciate. I want to share with you what's on my heart tonight. And I know I might seem a little strange, a little awkward with this, but if you just stay with me while I preach, I think you'll find out where I'm going. First, the book of St. John. If you stand to your feet with me, the book of St. John, chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Thank God for Brother Daniel and such a wonderful friend. Appreciate him. And just in case y'all didn't know, I got me some crappie waiting on me. And I'm going to have me a feast this week. And I'm going to make sure I keep it secret so I don't have a whole lot of people helping me eat it. Hallelujah. Glory. I know that's selfish, but you don't know how long I've been waiting for it. St. John chapter 5, verse 1. Please keep me just where you had me at first, sound man. Just get me right back up just a little bit. In these monitors here. Thank you, Jesus. You're so kind. St. John chapter 5 and verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Say impotent folk. of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been a long time in that case. And he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. I just want to preach this simple thought. You don't have to stay this way. Tell your neighbor, you don't have to stay this way. Put your Bibles down and make a lot of noise for the Lord and get really noisy for the Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your word, Lord. I praise you and I honor you and I glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. Before I preach, I want to say something. And sound men have such a difficult job because they've got preachers like me who get loud, then get quiet, get loud, and then get quiet, and get loud, and then get quiet. And it sounds like sometimes when we make corrections from the pulpit, we might be playing down the role they play. But they do a very fine job, and I'm just hard to follow. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. So if you promise me that you'll keep, I don't care if you turn everybody else off, just make sure that I can hear myself in these monitors. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible says that after this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And the Bible says again, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now, I've heard many descriptions of these five porches and many statements concerning the symbolism of these five porches and what the number of five may represent. And some say that five represents the number of grace. Some say five is symbolic of faith. Some say five is symbolic of mercy. It may be all of those or any one of those. Nobody's really certain of that specific numerology. But here's what we do know. In these five porches, this house, the place Bethesda, means house of kindness, house of mercy. And in these five porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk. In this place called Bethesda, the house of mercy, the house of grace, there was a multitude, a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. Please bear with me and try hard to get offended when I say this. But in church life, there's almost an unspoken mandate to be pretentious. There's almost the culture, sort of a culture that we've created to pretend that we're all right. Come on. I've been pastoring just long enough to know that most of the people who come to church are hurting people, wounded people, scarred people, who feel it difficult to be transparent enough to say, I really need help. But the truth is, if you are hurting, if you are wounded, if you are scarred, the church is the right place to be. It's almost like we've created a culture, and I say we, I'm talking about Christianity. We've created a culture where you have to be all right before you get here. And then when you get here, you got to pretend that you're all right. Then when you get back home, you get back to your normal, wounded, scarred, confused life. That's why we can have a powerful church service. You can't get any more powerful, any more exciting than New Life in Birmingham, Alabama. I mean, if you go to sleep here, it's because we got to put you on some sort of life support. Somebody say amen. But let the truth be told. Everybody's shouting. Everybody's dancing. Everybody's singing is still a human being. And in your humanity, there are still wounds. And there are still scars. And there are still fears. There are still hurt. There are still confusion. And in our world, we pretend we got it all right. So that's why you can have such a powerful move of God. And when an appeal is made, come. You sat there hurt. Wounded, bruised, chin up in the air. Not me. I'll wait. But Tuesday, pastor's phone is ringing. You got a minute to talk? I need counseling. I know I'm getting out of some area I shouldn't be in. So please get offended. But if you don't get prayer when the waters is troubled, all you gonna get when you call the next day is counseling. It's the same as jumping into the pool after the angel is done. When you jump into the pool when the angel is done, all you gonna get is wet. Counseling can't heal you. Conversations can't heal you. You need the anointing to break every yoke. You need the anointing to destroy every yoke. So in this house of kindness, if you are hurting, you are not in the wrong place. You are not some abnormal person. If you are hurting, if you are wounded, if you are bruised, you are in the right place. The church is not a museum. It's not a showcase. The church is a place for the wounded. It is a place for the scarred. It is a place for the hurting. It is a place for the blind. It is a place. We kind of create this environment where pretense is almost mandatory. I've seen it. You've seen it. You were talking to somebody 2 days before church and even in the parking lot to tell you how messed up their life is. How they're struggling and the marriage is on the rocks and the finances are collapsing and the kids are going astray and they're just about to lose their mind. They come to church and all the shouting going on, all the dancing going on, and they won't even step up to receive prayer. It's almost like I don't want anybody to know something's wrong with me. I don't want anybody to get an indication that I've got some weakness, some struggle, some pain, some hurting area in my life. I think it's time we grow up. I think it's time we grow up. I said, I think it's time we grow up. I really don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you feel about mine. But I am not leaving this house the way I walked in to this house. I'm not leaving this place the way I walked in to to this place. A great multitude of impotent folk. The word impotent means lacking power, means helpless. And that's the place we don't want to appear, as though we are helpless. And you know, we've almost bought into the humanist philosophy that somehow being a Christian means using your religion as a crutch. And almost with boasting and almost with bragging, people are saying, I don't need the church. I don't need God because y'all just use it because you're weak. Let me make this confession. I am using this as a crutch because I can't walk unless I've got him. I can't talk unless I've got him. I can't make it without him. I need Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus every day of my life. Can somebody shout yet? Ain't nothing wrong with leaning on Jesus. There's nothing wrong with depending on Jesus. There's nothing wrong with saying, I need him. I used to talk to our men, and I kind of said this, because some men really have a problem with it, because we've made Christianity almost a weak sounding religion. And when you see images of Jesus, you see this blonde beach boy looking dude with a little razor blade slice on his side, kind of with his hip twisted out, hanging on the cross. Let me tell you something. Jesus was a man's man. He wasn't no sissy. See, Jesus was a carpenter's son. And in those days, boys learned the trade of the father. And in those days, they didn't go and order 2x4s from Lowe's. They didn't order 6x6s and 4x4s and 2x4s and 2x12s from Lowe's. They had to cut down and hewn out and mill their own lumber and carry it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Jesus was buff. Jesus was tough. I'll tell you how tough he was. When he walked into the temple one day, he got angry enough when they were mistreating the house of God and turned over tables and chased all of them out of the house of God. He was tough. When they scourged him, the scourging, they say, was the most diabolical means of torture in the Roman repertoire of pain. Jesus took 39 lashes. Some say, using the scourge that they used with the broken pottery, the hooks, the jagged edges, glued on to there, or welded on there with blood, sheep's blood. They say that those long leather tongues would rip the meat off of his bones. Some historians say that halfway through the scourging, they had to turn his body because there was not enough sound flesh left to beat. Some say that many of the men who were sentenced to be scourged didn't live through the scourging or died shortly thereafter. Not only did Jesus live through every one of those stripes, he lived to stand under the weight of the cross and carry that heavy piece of wood all the way up that hill. Jesus was not a weakling. So when I lean on Jesus, I lean on power. When I lean on Jesus, I lean on strength. When I lean on Jesus, tell your neighbor, lean on him, lean on him, lean on him. So it's not a bad thing to say I'm helpless. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, Blessed are the poor in spirit. Some translation says you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. You're blessed when you are spiritually helpless. See, as long as you got it all, you can't get any of it. It's when you say, I've got nothing else, I'm blessed. But let me get to this point. The word impotent means powerless or helpless. So the scripture says in this place, there was a great multitude of powerless people. Great multitude of helpless people. And I want to tell you something now. This is, it's kind of hard, so please try to get offended. But if you could fix it, if you could do it, you would have done it by now. If you could work it out, it would have been worked out by now. There was a great multitude of powerless, helpless people. So much so that there was a culture, climbing in a culture of powerlessness and hopelessness. This might sound strange and contradictory to what we experience, but let the truth be told. There are some people who've been shouting like they're shouting for 20 years, but who's been living like they're living for 20 years also. And they don't even believe now, with all the dancing, they don't believe they can change it. They don't believe it can be fixed. So they just decide to shout because that's the way it is. I better behave. Let me tell you what he says. There were 3 degrees of powerlessness in this place called the 5 porches. The first degree was called the blind. The second degree was the halt, the limping. And the 3rd degree was the withered, the dried up. When he talks about the visionless, those without a vision, the blind, those without vision, the Bible said where there is no vision, people perish. The word perish has several applications, the one of which I want to talk to you about for just a minute. Vision or perish means to live without restraint, to run wild. Whenever you see a believer who just has no self-control, just living from moment to moment to whatever comes next, you just stand back and scratch your head and say, why did they do that? It's because they have no vision. See, vision doesn't wipe away problems. Vision doesn't eradicate the efforts of the enemy to attack you. But vision keeps you focused. And no matter what's happening to you, you can keep on walking and keep on stepping when you've got vision. Folk can lie on you, but you got vision. They can talk about you, but you got vision. They can hate you and despise you, but you've got vision. See, vision make folk think you crazy. Because when other people would have lost their mind and just go berserk, you keep pushing and you've got vision. The second person is the halt, the limping. Those that just getting by. Just getting by. You know, that's those people who come, but they're not engaged, who don't take any chances. You know, I've got degenerative joint disease from Saudi Arabia, and every now and then when I go fishing, I got to be careful how I walk on rocks. Because I just step on one the wrong way and my ankle just flip out, and man, I'm hurt for weeks. And then I'll be limping for weeks. And what would normally be just a normal motion for others, for the limping, it's a whole lot of work. How many know what I'm talking about? And some of us have let injuries go so long. Talented people, gifted people, people who've got an anointing on your life, but you got hurt somewhere way back in your past. And you do good just to come to church with all of that power in your life and all of that gifting in your life and all of the anointing on your life. You do good just to show up. I got to tell you this, might hurt your feelings, so please get offended. I love watching people shout.
I do, man.
I love watching people dance. God knows how much I love. I just hate seeing it end when you leave here. I love to hear people testify. I love to see them demonstrate great strength and great power when the music is playing and the preacher's preaching. They're all excited. I just hate seeing it come to an end when service is over. Do you know the church wouldn't have to come up with one program if most saints stopped limping? I had somebody come to me not long ago and got upset because God's been calling me, he said, to change lives. Then why are you upset with me? Because you won't let me. Oh, what you mean is I won't let you hold the microphone. And what you mean is I won't give you an office with a title on the door. So you're limping the church, blaming the church because you didn't get in the water on time. See, ministry is not right here. Teaching and instructing and directing and casting vision is right here. Ministry is out there. And I want everybody who knows that God has given them a ministry to stand to your feet and clap your hands. Rise up. It's in your schools. It's in your neighborhood. It's in the supermarket. Everywhere you go. Hallelujah. And then there's the withered. Dried up. Everybody can be healed. Dried up. Been in it so long. Been at it so long. Just feel nothing. Just kind of existing. Still come to the five porches. Just dried up when you get there. Now, I used to take the blame for what people didn't receive. And I used to take the blame for what people didn't get. And I felt like if I preach, and you know what I mean, Pastor, and any preacher knows what I'm talking about, you preach and your face turning red, well, mine don't. And you're losing your voice and sweating up good suits and the same people sitting there like you speaking some foreign language. And then when they get up, you hear them in the parking lot saying, I didn't get nothing out of that. Let me tell you why you didn't get nothing out of it. Because you didn't bring anything in it. Because if you come in hungry, if you come in longing, if you come in thirsty, Jesus, the Bible said, for an angel went down at a certain time. There was a certain time. In the economy of God, timing is everything. He said there's a time and a season for everything under heaven. Timing is everything. And the Bible said there was a certain season. I don't believe he announced it in advance. I believe he was talking to hearts that stayed prepared. A certain time that when the pool, into the pool, and when the waters was troubled, whoever was first that stepped in got whatever they needed in a certain time. I believe this with all my heart. Whatever the condition of your spirit is, whatever your attitude is, whatever your heart's preparation is, it will be that way in the certain time. You've got to always be anticipating that certain time. You've got to position yourself with a watchful eye for that certain time. You've got to position your heart with an alert spirit for that certain time. See, some folk miss the moment because they're waiting on something else. When God finally moves, they are not ready. And somebody else gets what was prepared for them. You've been what I'm talking about before. See, that's why some people can be in the same room at the same time with somebody else, hearing the same preaching, the same message, and somebody else gets blessed and they sit right there and never feel a thing. You ought to be ready when the Holy Ghost moves. You ought to be ready when the Spirit moves. You ought to be ready when the Word is preached. You ought. He said a certain time. And whoever was first into the pool when the waters was troubled, he was healed of whatsoever disease he had. And as Jesus approached, there was a man which had an infirmity 38 years. Now here's something I want to point out and share with you. If you're in the house of God, you belong in the house of God. When you're hurting, this is the place to be. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't mean you're sorry. You're in the right place when you're in the house of God. And there was a man that was living there, the man who was there for 38 years. There, 38 years is a long time to be hurting. 38 years is a long time to be lonely. 38 years is a long time to be broken and bruised. And brokenhearted. So much so that you can get so used to it that the culture of helplessness becomes an accepted state of mind. You can hear preaching that's positive and uplifting and directional, and you can believe it for everybody else. You say to yourself, it's not for me. So Jesus, when he saw him lie, he knew that he had now been a long time in that state. 38 years. Now let me tell you something. Somehow You can see it in people's face. When you talk about shouting, the eyes light up. When you talk about dancing, the eyes light up. When you talk about those things that are immediately, you know, emotional, their eyes light up. But when you challenge them, come and get your miracle now. This look comes over their face as though they're saying without moving their mouth, I want to believe, but it's not for me. I want to be healed, but it's not for me. I want to be delivered, but it's not for me. I believe in miracles, but not for me. I believe he's able, but not for me. Because I've been in this cultural mindset, and I'm surrounded by so many just like me who's missed the moment. It's become an acceptable culture around me that I'm used to not having. And I'm used to not believing, not accepting. And I'm used to not receiving. I've just accepted that that's the way it is for me. That's my reality. That's my reality. And Jesus asked him, will you be made whole? In other words, is this really what you want in your life? Are you, now you are where you are. No matter how you arrive, you are where you are. Your scars are real. Your pain is real. Your heartbreak is real. Your disappointment is real. You are where you are. And that's not even the question. Question is not whether are you faking your hurt or pretending that you're hurt or just fabricating your pain. You are where you are. And you've been like you are for a long time. The question begins with you. Is this the way you want it to be? Is this the way you want it to be? He answered, like many answer now, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another step it down before me. I have no man to put me into the pool. I did the math. If he had crawled 1 inch a day for 38 years, he would have traveled 3.5 miles. You see, when you are determined that I'm just not going to stay this way, I'm so determined to get my miracle. If I've got to crawl 1 inch a day and I'm laying on the edge of the pool and I got my eyes locked on the water, as soon as I see the first ripple, I'm just rolling in. But I am not leaving the way I came. I am not leaving here till I get. And let me tell you how passionate, compassionate Jesus was. Jesus didn't say, I understand. I understand. Let me heal you. Let me lay my hands on you and touch you and speak these powerful words of life over you. That's not how Jesus really approached him. Jesus approached him in the title of this message, basically. You don't have to stay this way. And he didn't say, I understand. Didn't even speak with an ounce of compassion. He looked at him. Read it. Rise up. You're hurting? Rise up. You're wounded? Rise up. Your husband left you? Rise up. Your children backslid? Rise up. You've been criticized unfairly? Rise up. You've been let down by people? Rise up. You've been scarred and bruised? Rise up. Now is not the time to expect other folk to feel sorry for you. I have no man. Everybody at the pool was hurting. Everybody at the pool was broken. Everybody at the pool needed help. Rise up and walk. So rise up, take up thy bed. And walk. You don't have to stay this way. I would be the last person on this earth to criticize you for being wounded, because I've been there. I would be the last person on this earth to criticize you for being scarred and bruised. I've been there. I would be the last person to criticize you if you experienced a loss of vision. If you got to the point that sometime you just barely limp to make it, or even if you feel dried up, I'd be the last person, because personally, I have experienced every one of these dimensions. Don't you know certain kinds of hurt coming from certain kind of places can make you lose focus? Unless you on purpose rise up and walk. Certain kind of wounds coming from certain kind of people can almost make you feel like sitting at home. Unless on purpose you make up in your mind, I'm jumping in the pool. Somebody say amen. And sometimes, you know what we say? I have no man to lay hands on me. I have no man to encourage me. I have no man to put me into the pool. This might sound kind of harsh, but stop expecting people to do it for you. This is a time for you now to rise up and make up in your mind, I don't have to stay this way. I want everybody who's really going through something to stand to your feet and lift up your voice and say, I don't have to stay this way. Now clap your hands like you mean what I'm talking about. Lift up your voice like you know what I'm talking about. I don't have to stay this way. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Woo. Come on and praise him now. Hey, hey, hey. Yes. 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 The angel is troubling the waters. There are some who are struggling with vision. They wouldn't know where they were going if you drew them a map. It's not because they're bad people. They've been hurt and something has happened to distract them, and they're struggling with their vision. Oh, I did do a good job at buying into this new church culture that we got to pretend we know where we're going, but they really are struggling with vision. And they're so afraid of stepping out, making known that I need help. There are some who do just good. It's too good to get to the house of God. barely making it. And there are some who, though they try and reach, touch, they can't feel a thing. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is accepting it and staying that way to fit into the culture that surrounds us. See, there was a great multitude of impotent, powerless folk, and the culture of powerlessness can take over. Somebody has got to trust Jesus enough while everybody else has accepted the way it is. Somebody's got to stand up and pick up that bed and walk and say to the rest of the world, I don't have to stay like this. Is there anybody here that's made up in your mind, I don't have to stay like this? I don't have to stay like this. Step out from where you are. Make your way to the altar. Lift up your hands and your voices. I don't have to stay like this. And when you come, come with a testimony of your lips. I will not leave the way I came. I will be made whole. 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 I will, I will, I will, I will. Come on, lift your voices now, all over the house. Every voice lifted. Everybody praying. Whatever your condition is, whatever your situation is, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. Lift up your voice in the sanctuary. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Receive what the Lord has for us. Shatamaka Rabako Shatama. Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Over to another sister, brother to another brother, and let the love of God flow through you in fervent prayer. Hallelujah. Come on, pray for them right now. Show me.